seem to hold me tight in my world full of dreams. And lately it seems between you and me that there ain't a single place that a man can go sit and dream.
You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5. Y'all know what it is, one. With coke and a dollar bill, simply
Oh, me take your heart, I will prove to you we will never be apart if I'm part of you. Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Big and black the clouds may be, time will pass away. If you put your trust in me, I'll make bright your day. Look into these eyes now, tell me what you see. Don't you realize now, what you see is me. Tell me what you see. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Can't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you? Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me. Listen to me one more time, how can I get through? Can't you try to see that I'm trying to get to you? Open up your eyes now, tell me what you see. It is no surprise now, what you see is me.
This song is called Tearing Me Apart.
is Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your kids behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
I am writing a book, a collection of short stories, and I want to read this one to you. This is called She Sings Me to Sleep with Laughter. I understand exhaustion. Exhaustion and I have a long-standing and deeply intimate knowledge of one another. He knows how to slip into my life and make me miserable, and I know that he enjoys doing it. Over the past 13 years, I have carved out a small career as a singer-songwriter while simultaneously maintaining a marriage, raising two children, and holding one and sometimes two day jobs. The currency with which I have paid for this music career is sleep. Exhaustion is the constant companion of all of us who choose to trade in this particular currency. My daughter's bedroom is next to the bedroom where my wife, myself, and exhaustion sleep. There has never been a real door on her room. We installed one of those flimsy folding doors that slides on tracks and opens and closes like an accordion. It has given her some privacy, but has deprived her of one of the key ingredients of a complete adolescence, a door that slams. I must admit to several moments of quiet glee over the years when the door slamming exclamation point at the end of a teenage melodrama was replaced by little squeaky wheels sliding across aluminum runners. Here, let me elaborate. When my daughter was 17 and a half. Her and her mother would fight like two animals. It was, like, I would know that it was them and that they were speaking English. But to me, it sounded like the Nature Channel had been turned up really loud on the TV. Do you know what I mean? I'd be in another room and it would sound like this. And then they would each come to me separately at different times and complain about the other one. And now, I don't know you people, I have no reason to lie to you, but I'm gonna tell you the truth. If I closed my eyes, I couldn't tell you which one was talking. Maybe the problem that they have with each other has something to do with the fact that they're identical. Who knows? But anyway, this is what it would sound like. My daughter would be going, I'm 17 years old and you can't tell me what to do and I'll come home at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and do whatever I want. Pretty soon I'll be 18 and I can do whatever I want. And then she would go upstairs, wa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa, and stand next to her little accordion door. And then she would yell down the stairs to us. And this is what it would sound like. She would go, and when I turn 18, I am moving out of this house! Weep. And my wife and I would be laughing, laughing. Oh, you're gonna run away when you're 18, weeky, weeky, weeky. So listen to me now. I want to give you some advice. I've been telling that story now for over a year, and I know that the parents of teenagers in the audience at the end of the show, they are screaming out of the buildings and running down to the car and trying to get to the Home Depot before it closes. Because, as parents of teenagers, there are so precious few victories. If you remove your slammable door from your teenager and give them a little weeky-weeky accordion door, I will promise you moments of absolute sheer unadulterated joy in your life. All right. One night when my daughter was 15, I was in a particularly profound state of exhaustion. It was 11:30 p.m. I could hear the 6 a.m. setting on the alarm clock actually taunting me. I'm going to ring as soon as you close your eyes, big guy. My daughter was on the phone with one of her girlfriends. She was laughing. It was the kind of a laugh that can only come from a 15-year-old girl. Now, as something of a comedian, I have spent a disproportionate amount of my life studying the different sounds of laughter. In addition to the obvious fact that each person has their own unique laugh, it's kind of like a fingerprint, really, when you think about it. There are several different types of laughter. There's the I can't believe it, that's just like my mother laugh. The, oh my God, did he really just say that laugh? The polite, unenthusiastic, almost obligatory laugh. Had a few of those last night. The, this guy is really scary, nervous laugh. And you know, that very unique laughter that comes from mean-spirited, victim-oriented humor. To the untrained ear, all of these sound pretty much the same. However, the laughter of a 15-year-old girl on the telephone with her best friend is a sound unlike any other on Earth. I am lying in bed. I am so tired I could cry. I am not only being taunted by exhaustion and my alarm clock, but also by all the realities inflicted upon my life by every poor decision I have ever made. Sleep, even just a little bit of it, is the only remedy. Unfortunately, I am being denied this cure by the shrieks and wails of hysterical teenage laughter, devilishly dancing out of my daughter's room. I resolve that I must address the situation. I then begin the process of deciding which of my two available dad identities I should manifest in the bedroom doorway of my inconsiderate daughter. The goal being to deliver unto her the dad persona that will bring blessed quiet back to my domicile as quickly as possible with the least amount of energy output and subsequent ramifications. The first dad incarnation that comes to mind is the stereotypical blustering version. This is the one where I storm over to her room and, with all the self-righteous indignation available to the dad number one stereotype, I identify her crimes against humanity and the reasons why they are personally offensive to me. Then, using the loud, severely agitated, and totally unreasonable dad number one voice, I say, I am trying to get some sleep here. You don't care that I have to get up at 6 a.m. Why should you? You get to sleep till noon. All you ever think about is yourself. It would never even occur to you that other people might actually be living in this house. Then I flex my dad number one dictatorial muscle by saying, hang up that phone right now. And then there is quiet. Quiet anger, quiet resentment, and quiet plotting of revenge. You see, dad number one always gets much more quiet than he bargained for. That's because he is 100% bluster and 0% circumspection. His short-sightedness is legendary. The method by which he attains his immediate goal actually fortifies the resolve of the opposition. He wins the battle at the expense of the war. He is, generally speaking, a byproduct of exhaustion and lives a life that alternates between explosive bravado and the need to apologize for it. Once dad number one is finished blowing off steam and asserting his authority in my mind, he gives the podium to dad number two. This dad is also motivated by exhaustion, but he lacks the will to fight. Instead, he is a pleader. His method is to crawl out of bed, looking as pitiful as possible, and to speak in a defeated monotone. Ariel, honey, I have to get up early. Can you please use the telephone downstairs? Although sad and emasculated, this dad usually accomplishes his goal without creating a situation that he will feel obligated to repair later. I choose to manifest dad number two. I conjure up my defeated monotone and I roll it around in my mouth. I am preparing to climb out of bed and address the situation when a hitherto unknown door in my mind opens up and out walks dad number three. He speaks. Dad number one is a jerk and dad number two is an idiot. The problem here is not with the sounds in this house. It is with the way you are choosing to hear them. I think to myself, great. Dad number three is a philosopher. I say, is this going to take long? I really need to get some sleep here. He tells me to shut up and he continues. Let's take a look at what we actually have here, he says. You are about to take action that will curtail the sounds of laughter in your home. Is this really what you want? Would you prefer that your home be filled with the sounds of anger or crying? The sounds that fill a home are part and parcel of the memories that are created there. Quiet is what happens in a home when you are alone in it. Be careful how much of this you wish for. Then he says it again. The problem here is not with the sounds in this house. It is with the way you are choosing to hear them. And then I get it. I don't just get it a little bit. I really get it. I completely get it. I get it in the center of my solar plexus. It must be like this when all of a sudden, one day, you understand jazz. I say to myself, what kind of a father can't go to sleep to the sound of his daughter laughing? And then instantly, as if the asking of the question initiated the metamorphosis, all the sounds emerging from my daughter's room are transformed. They become music. They become summer rain. I lay back and let them wash over me. All the pores in my body open up and absorb them. I drink in the miracle of my daughter's teenage laughter. It is magic. It is giddy. It is a sound so complete that it seems as if every one of her molecules are laughing. There is no separation between my daughter, the young adult, and laughter itself. It is all one glorious symphony, light and lovely. She sings me to sleep with laughter. I dream of woodwinds and of small birds dancing gracefully upon delicate breaths of wind. In the morning, I awake refreshed. Exhaustion is gone and will not return until the day has wrestled from me my zest. There is a distinct lightness in the early morning quiet of my home. I glance in upon the sleeping figure of my daughter, beautiful and at peace. I whistle a line from the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, and I begin my day.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Doing it right, everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright.
If you lose your way tonight, that's how you know the magic's right.
Doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright.
Weak. after a song I wrote last summer sometime, we were playing in San Bernardino. We went and saw a fortune teller, and he laid it on me right where it all was, so I wrote a song called Tombstone Shadow.
This is Dan Dennett, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Until sunny hill by a lake. He wrote his greatest poems in a pinch. Intricate lines intertwined with the landscape. Serpentine serpents speed up past the stop signs. But nothingness. Off the runway here a baby cries. Early Sunday and we're in the sky.
One person's incense.
Hello, Massachusetts.
One man's B.O.
Hello, Oklahoma.
Magazine telling me
hello,
I don't know
Indiana.
What to do. And my heart is aching.
Hello, Carolina.
Feeling of the forest into
hello, Alabama.
And I want to turn my heart around.
Hello, South Dakota.
See that the world is full.